I was given a suggestion for an Instagram reel. Three things that you should be prepared for in terms of competing abroad for the first time. Now, I didn't think that was going to fit into 90 seconds. So here we are in a longer format for you to listen to. And we'll see how this goes. If you make it the whole way through, give me a shout. We could think of some other things to talk about. A consumable sub 15 to 20 minute topic that we could discuss. And we'll go from there. If you found this thanks to an algorithmic reason, my name is Andrew. I'm a black belt in jiu-jitsu. And for some reason, I feel that you need to hear this. So I've split it into three categories. Let's go with getting there. Let's go with acclimatization and exposure. So, getting there. Now, this might be stupid, but a lot of this could be. So, when it comes to booking your flight, book it for a time that suits you potentially getting public transport to the airport. If you're in a situation where you're doing multiple tournaments abroad a year, the difference between a flight later in the day, earlier in the day, and the price difference could be the same price as your next flight abroad. And the cost associated with traveling can sneak up on you. So leaving your car in an airport for a number of days can be expensive. So can fuel to and from an airport. So can tolls. Maybe a return bus, even though being on the bus, bit more miserable, bit more time needed in getting there and back. If it's a fraction of the cost, then that's what you need to be considering if it'll cover your flight for your next tournament. If something goes wrong, delay-wise, and I'm flying the day before a tournament, will I be arriving too late into the city that I'm competing in order to get the best possible rest before competing the next day? So I would always opt for the earliest possible flight you can get the day before you're competing. If you're really risking it in and out in the same day, are you leaving early on in the morning to make sure that a taxi or a train is going to get you to the venue before you compete? This is very risky, but if it's a UK type tournament, and you're booking the flight short notice and you might be able to get a cheap flight, you sign up for it the week of the tournament, flying in and out the day of the competition can be a very good, cost-effective way of competing. I would always opt for the last possible flight home if you're going to come back the same day you compete, or the first flight the following morning if you're planning on like sleeping in the airport or something like that. I would personally look for the earliest flight the day after. This might not be feasible for some people who might want to have a pint or go out or spend a day or two after the compete and stuff like that. But you should also be aware of, is your accommodation easy to get to the airport from at 5 o'clock in the morning when you're rushing for a flight? If you're in a rural enough area, are there going to be Ubers or buses running at that time? Is there taxis, apps, whatever you can get? Planning all of this into consideration when it comes to your return flight is important. I've been in the situation and would weirdly enough recommend slumming it in the airport from the night before, because at least you know you're going to be there and you're not going to miss your flight. So, final thing in terms of getting there, using something like Skyscanner is your best bet. You'll find different travel routes, different airlines. You might get a direct flight to your tournament, but be up for a connection flight on the way home. Again, could save money, and you'll get to experience a brand new airport, which is really what everyone who competes is looking for in this life. When it comes to acclimatization, right? Adapters are way more expensive in airports. Try get them beforehand if you can. Bring an extension lead if you have the room to do so. That means you'll only need one adapter and you'll have four regular plugs for charging phones, speakers, anything like that. I would recommend, if you're worried about weight, bringing your own set of weighing scales. Your Dioralites that you might want to use for rehydrating, cereal bars, jellies, whatever. Anything that you can take that's not liquid, I would take from Ireland. You might end up getting them cheaper, getting them in a shop that you'd normally get them in, but also something goes wrong, you get in late the night before the tournament, you don't know if there's a shop open, there isn't a shop open, you won't have time to stop somewhere in the morning. Trying to get all of those things checked off beforehand just removes any sort of stress. Another thing you can do is when you're visiting an area through Google Maps, you can make it available offline. You can download that area. So it'll show you shops, restaurants, bars, cafes. And if you're worried about data roaming and charges and stuff like that on your phone, then you have it all available offline. And the next one, in terms of acclimatization, would be try and book your stay and accommodation to suit the venue that you're competing in, as opposed to suiting the city that you are staying in. So there could be a couple of variables on this. Maybe you're heading away for a weekend with your partner, or maybe who's getting a trip out of your competition weekend, or maybe you're getting a competition out of a weekend away with your partner. You may be enticed to stay somewhere a little bit more central, but let's use an upcoming tournament as an example for how this could be a situation. The Nogi Europeans are going to be on in Rome. If you're flying from Dublin, the only airport that is serviceable is Fiumicino, which is FCO Airport, and the venue is in a place called Ostia, which is about 30 minutes outside of Rome on a train, but is only 10 minutes away from Fiumicino. So from a perspective of having been there and competed before, you may want to stay in Rome and get the train out and back. That's no problem. It's a great city to go around. There's unbelievable sights, lovely food, depending on the time of the year, can be a really great place to be in. Usually we will mark a day or a night where we can go and do that. But being based in Ostia, close to the venue, for the few days that you're going to be there, is going to be better off in the long run. You may be there going to watch other people compete, getting a bit of training in before you compete, or maybe checking your weight a day or two before the tournament. You can add up a couple of these different things, but if you stay in Rome, you might end up paying more money than you'd expect going in and out on the train to the venue, and like add on the accumulative factor of traveling. So changing metros, spending time, stress, walking, all of these sort of things. Like, your goal should be conserving your energy systems, not feeling drained, taking it as easy as possible and as selfishly as possible for you in the days leading up to it. Your decision should be based around you performing as good as you can and not what maybe, oh, but I wanted to stay in Rome to be able to see Rome and pay three times the price for a coffee. Not worth it. And while we're on that, finding out the best value, like travel card for the city that you're going to, is always worth buying. You might feel a bit sick paying like 16 to 20 quid up front for a 24-hour or 48-hour metro card, probably 48-hour for 20 quid. But when it comes to going back and forth from venues, going in and out of the city, it's going to add up and you're going to save more money in the longer term. And while I'm absolutely no nutritionist in terms of acclimatization, cutting weight, right? So the fact that I'm completely not a nutritionist, I was craving a Club Rock Shandy before I started recording this. Drove to Applegreen in the middle of the night and I just thought, that'd be nice there when I'm sitting recording this. But I have cut weight the wrong way several times. I've gotten away with it, had good performances, gotten it wrong, had terrible performances. One of my worst cuts had led to my best performances. And then one of what I thought was my better cuts had led to one of my worst performances. So, like, this is something that you need to just put in the hands of someone who knows what they're doing. Namely, Yannick McGee Nutrition over on Instagram. He not only fought professional MMA and Thai boxing, he's now transitioned into Jiu-Jitsu fully. He competes himself. He works with professional athletes all around the world in multiple disciplines of sport and understands the weighing and the rehydration process very, very well. If you are sitting at around 71, 72 kilos, you should be competing under 70. You shouldn't be doing under 76. And I'm speaking with that from experience. If you're spending all this money to go abroad and you're at a weight range where like a week or two of dieting can get you down comfortably to the next division, then that's what you should be doing. And in terms of Yannick, one more shout to him. I made a huge bollocks out of a weight cut earlier on in the year, and he was able to help massively to ensure I was in as good of a state as possible in terms of my rehydration and refuel properly afterwards. And I have no doubt the process is much smoother if you hire a nutritionist and follow their advice in the lead up to the tournament. So when it comes to like the day of, maybe if you're going to eat, only eat stuff that you're used to eating before training. I would personally skip breakfast most days that I compete. If I train at 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning when I'm at home anyway, I won't eat before then. I'll have black coffee and that'll be about it. You're better to be early at the venue, sitting around waiting and rushing. If you're driving to a local tournament, you could get any of these things happen to you, which has happened to me. Flat tire, getting diesel, taking too long, card being declined, being pulled out of your car by the guards, car breaking down on the side of the motorway. Can all happen and it will create a bigger stress on you in the longer term. So there's been days that I'm at the venue from 9:30 in the morning, watching divisions, watching people compete that I wanted to watch. But one of the biggest advantages that you can get is getting into the venue either the day or the night before that you compete. It is such an underrated bonus. Walking into that arena for the first time and feeling the heat of the venue hit you in the face when you walk in, like the sweat and the dead heat of people competing, along with the noise and the visual aid of so many bodies competing, the big yellow and black mats, the big podium, maybe big speakers and screens, there's really nothing like it at all. Going to an IBJJF or a major for the first time will always hit different compared to a local tournament, but I'm aware that for people listening to this, maybe the local tournament might be your Everest, and that's fine too. Trying to acclimatise yourself to the situation as best as you can, as long before you can compete as possible, I think is one of the best shouts that you can get. I know other people who like to just have shown up, quite nervous, warm up, compete and leave, and it works for them. But even with experience, you're still going to get butterflies when you walk into a venue for the first time that week. I just find it's better that your exposure to that is not too quickly before you compete. And now we will move off to the final topic. I know this is kind of like an umbrella thing. So we've gone for getting there, traveling to and from, acclimatization, and now exposure. So, yes, there is a uniform policy for these big tournaments. This is a heavily described uniform policy. It's quite detailed, and it's incredibly hard to get wrong if you've read it and follow their instructions. In regards to the IBJJF type tournaments, do I think you should be allowed to wear your pink Valetudo shorts while competing? Maybe. Am I happy that the IBJJF don't allow you to do that? Absolutely. Save that for staffed, riddled, roll-out mat tournaments that don't have adequate medical supervision that happen up and down the country. We've got fresh haircuts, eyelashes done, and matching no-gi kits to worry about here in the IBJJF. A barber's busiest week is before jiu-jitsu people go away and compete. And I will always bring two of everything. Not because of something that happened to me directly, but because of things that I've seen happening. You should have two gis, one to train in, one to compete in. If you train in a gi, warming up in a gi, get it wet, maybe your weight's close. First of all, the IBJJF can say to you, this gi's wet, you're not competing in it. This gi stinks, you're not competing in it. Or if they let you through and it's still a bit heavy, maybe you end up sweating in your gi, sweating in your training gear, make it heavier, can't get it dry in time, and it's adding unnecessary weight onto your weighing. So I'll generally bring a gi to train in, a gi to compete in, and the same would apply if I was doing a no-gi tournament as well. You have through the gi check as well, a reason for having a second gi. If your first gi doesn't pass, you're not running around looking for somebody else to borrow a gi off. Or if your gi pants were to rip during a match, you're allowed to change the gi. But the last thing you need to be worried about in an adrenaline-fueled situation like that is running around asking complete strangers if you can borrow their trousers. Like, they're just going to disqualify you. So the assumption is on you to be prepared, ready for all scenarios. I'll have a second gi usually floating around the bullpen or with a teammate outside the bullpen in case something like that does happen. Music. Listen to it if you want. If you need a certain type of song, though, to get you motivated to compete, that might be a problem within itself that we should look at further down the line. Let's say you have a dodgy USB cable, you left your speaker on charge tonight before you get to the venue, headphones on, ready to listen to Spice Girls or the Venga Boys or Taylor Swift or whatever, and your headphones die 10 minutes into the warm-up. Well then, I guess you're going to lose the tournament now because you weren't able to listen to the song that you wanted to. This was something that was said to me by one of Ireland's best competitors a couple of years ago, and I have kind of taken it a little more seriously over the last few years and realizing that, like, superstitions and stuff like that, like, what if something goes wrong? You don't want to be linked to a ritual in case something goes wrong. So if I want to listen to a bit of music when I'm warming up, then I will. But once I go into the bullpen, I would usually have no headphones on. You don't want to be that ultra serious looking lad who's ready to start shadow boxing, rude to the ring coordinators, mean mugging the other competitors, hiding in the corner, trying to get a bit of extra time to recover or rest because he couldn't hear them calling because he was so locked in. Like, it's nice to be aware of your audible surroundings in the bullpen and taking it all in as you're trying to get yourself calmer, running through how you're going to start and continue in your matches. And one other thing, like, you'll know what mat you're going to be on. So be visible, look out for the person wearing the number of the mat that you're going to be on. Let them know that you're there, who you are. They'll remember your face. They won't be going around shouting and screaming looking for you. And then just don't be the person that goes missing as such. And while I wish I could have bullet pointed all of these situations, condensed it into a 90-second Instagram reel, I think there's an understandable nuance to these sort of things. There are people who are cold and dead behind the eyes, who just take it in their stride and are seemingly unfazed by anything and just rise to the occasion. But for the rest of us, you may need to give it a couple of goes or do these sort of things to stack the deck as much in your favour as possible before you're able to make that breakthrough. It would be very cliche of me to say something like, oh, more importantly, guys, you just need to have fun, enjoy the experience. That's what competition's all about. But I will always be nervous before I compete. And I will often think, I cannot believe that I paid to be here. Why did I spend this money to be here? I have flown to the other side of the world. I'm in a literal convention center in a desert in Las Vegas. What am I doing here? This will not last forever. And one day your best days will be behind you and your level of fitness now will be something that you wish you could get back. Savor the opportunity and the ability for that day to be the main character, right? Just do it. Just compete. You're already there. And that's kind of what happens with me. I will feel like I'm so nervous. What am I doing here? You're the next match. Okay, I have no choice now. I have to go. Have to do it. And then you do it. You can be an NPC, non-playable character, for the rest of your life if you want. But you chose to be here on that day to put yourself in a situation to test yourself. And it's either going to work out or it won't. It's really that simple. This is either going to go well or it won't. And barring a catastrophic injury, you're going to be able to take something positive from either of those two situations if you have the right approach. You're going to come out the other side better regardless for having done it. And as I said, you're either going to learn something about your jiu-jitsu or you're going to learn something about yourself. Three areas for competing abroad with a load of little sub areas within those things. Getting there, acclimatization and exposure. We're about 8 weeks out from the Nogi Europeans. And let's get a few more of these in before now and then. That's it. Chat to you next time. I'm away to enjoy this rock shandy. Good luck.